Welcome to the Barth Calderon Wealth Protector Podcast. Our founder, Harry Barth, and his son, Brad, are top speakers on asset protection and estate planning to many incredible groups across the country, including the Women Presidents Organization, Vistage, the Young Presidents Organization, the California Apartment Association, and many more. And now, here is your host, Paul Hitchcock.
Hey, everybody. This is Paul, and glad you could jump on. I'm just going to jump right into this because I'm talking about a very hot topic today, and this is about chronic illness. If you or a loved one has a chronic illness, how do you treat that for estate planning purposes? And there's some nuance to that. And, you know, it's not a topic anybody likes to talk about, but it's really, really important. More than 130 million Americans are living with a chronic illness, and estimates say by 2020, about 157 million Americans will have a chronic disease. And so it's something that impacts a lot of us. A quarter of those aged 65 to 74 have had their lives already impacted by a chronic illness. So it's real. It's not something that we can ignore. And there are some important components when it comes to estate planning. I want to jump into those. So get a pencil, write this down, a pen. Really important. First of all, there's the HIPAA release. HIPAA, H-I-P-A-A, stands for the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act of 1996. And so this law governs requirements about maintaining the confidentiality of your protected health information. And so the law prevents distribution of your protected information to unauthorized persons. So what a HIPAA release does is it authorizes someone you want to access your protected health information. So this is a loved one, a trusted person. And a release like this could be essential for the people that are helping you to interact with your medical providers. If you're ill, can your daughter-in-law, the doctor, get to see your patient chart to monitor your care? These are the sort of things that come up. And so the authorization, should be in writing and acknowledge that it is being made voluntarily. It should describe the health information that is permitted to be disclosed. It could be your entire medical record or only specified items. But regardless, the HIPAA form is something that all of us need and should have in place. So take consideration of that. Now also you have your will and a chronic illness. A will is a statement of your healthcare wishes. It may address end-of-life decisions, but also other matters. It can clarify whether you have any religious beliefs that might affect your healthcare decisions, or if you are living with a chronic illness, there are several special considerations you might wish to make in having a living will prepared. You might modify the language to indicate and explain your specific disease. So the will is very important. It needs to be tailored if you're dealing with a chronic illness. Also, there's healthcare proxies when it comes to your chronic illness. So this is also called a medical power of attorney. It's a legal document in which you designate a trusted person to make decisions for you. And this is really, really critical because if you're injured, hurt, the doctors, the hospital, they're going to ask for this. And so, you might want to really focus on specific details of this. You might wish to express, guardianship matters. If your health challenges result in you becoming incapacitated, you might want to appoint a guardianship. If that issue ever comes up, a guardian, that's agencies step in if a guardianship issue comes up. And so you can spell that out in that document. So really important to have that going. And then the financial power of attorney. So again, this is another legal document in which you designate a trusted person to handle your legal, tax, and financial matters if you can. So this is basic. Everybody should have this, but there are a number of unique considerations for those with a chronic illness. Is, for example, a key question is how much control should be given up now. So these illnesses are tough. You know, obviously they can last for years, progressive, and they could, you know, Parkinson's, for example, you know, people who have Parkinson's, it can start out where you don't even notice it. They have it, you don't notice it, and then it progresses, and it's a track that's different for everybody. When is the right time to give up control? That's a tough one. And so it requires thought, but it's a key issue that comes up. If you have a neurologic condition, Alzheimer's, for example, is a big one. Maybe you only provide a limited amount of authority to your quote-unquote agent, and then broaden those powers if and when the medical condition gets worse. And so there's parameters in there you can set, but there's just many different types and variations of powers of attorney, and you got to understand what they are and tailor it to your specific situation. And then also, is there compensation to the agent that you appoint? You know, sometimes people have institutional agents if there's no family members around. But, you know, you want to state there's no compensation if that's the case also. But just make sure that you don't want to ever get into a sticky situation with the compensation example. And then you have the revocable trust and chronic illness. Revocable living trust is something all of us need, and they're commonly used in estate planning. And, you know, the primary purpose for a revocable trust is people want to avoid publicity, the expensive costs of probate, difficulties, you know, sloppy transition, family fights. But if you're living with a chronic illness, the revocable trust may be a better way to provide for succession of management for your finances. So you can really incorporate benefits and safeguards into a revocable trust. And so you want to really tailor that trust. Don't use an off-the-shelf trust, or maybe it's an old trust that you did years ago and, you know, you don't have it updated. And maybe you want to identify a safeguard for a third-party advisor, like a CPA or an attorney, to serve as a monitor to receive and review trust and bank statements, you know, to add more protection. Maybe, you know, the people that are caring for you kids aren't so great with finances and so forth. There's also the use of a trust protector that can oversee the living trust for accountability purposes. And so learn more about the trust protector and what that's all about. So chronic illness, again, sore subject. The doctors today are keeping us alive a lot longer. You know, people are living longer than ever before. In certain circumstances, the doctors, you know, do keep us alive longer. But the illnesses don't go away. They come, they happen. And so the question is, how do you deal with this? If there's chronic illness in your family, jump all over the living trust, the planning, and make sure that it's in tune to your specific family scenario. And again, you know, if you listen to me here, if you ever have any questions on your own family situation, reach out to us. We have a great complimentary assessment. We'll take a look at what you're doing, give you our our honest and sincere feedback, observations, recommendations on how to get pulled together. The contact is always paul@barthattorneys.com, P-A-U-L at B-A-R-T-H attorneys, plural.com. And thank you so much for listening. Hope this was helpful, and we'll look forward to having you on the show next time.